Not a Disney Movie is an exploration of animated movies not made by Disney. It contains explicit language.
Welcome to Not a Disney Movie, the show where we watch movies that aren't made by Disney. And this week, we watched
Wrangle from 2011.
Yeah, made by the very odd combination that we've not seen before, Paramount and Nickelodeon.
And? Imagined Me Magic Thing.
What?
The company that came from Star Wars.
ILM. Industrial Light and Magic. There you go. Yep. Yes, it was done by ILM as well.
And it was their first animated movie.
Yeah.
I learned today.
Yeah. Also, it's one of the, I think, 6 or 8 movies to have won Best Animated Movie Oscar that isn't Disney.
Yes.
What did you think?
Well,
that sigh tells me that you weren't that impressed.
Well, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Today is, what, the 14th? It's the 14th of March?
Yeah, it's Essie Hines' birthday.
It's Essie Hines' birthday, and also Mother's Day.
Also the Grammys.
And also the Grammys. But also, yesterday evening, there was a vigil for Sarah Everard. And I'm going to tie this in, because watching a movie with Johnny Depp in it...
Oh.
Is uncomfortable for me.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was a contentious choice. And, like, initially I wasn't going to say anything about it because I was like, well, it's not as though the movie is about being violent, but, like, I can't separate the art from the artist. And I don't really want to. It makes me uncomfortable. And I've just been, especially because of what's been happening in the news, I've just been thinking a lot about that kind of a thing. And, I think it would be remiss not to mention that, given that we're talking about the movie. Like, one thing we've never really stipulated is, like, what exact aspect of the movie we're talking about. But if you want to know what my feelings were about the movie, that was, like, the number one thing that I was thinking about watching the movie.
You're like, this is a Johnny Depp vehicle. He's a trash man.
I wouldn't say that I thought he's a trash man. But I did think what was quite interesting was that... Previous to this, like almost directly before this, he was in Pirates of the Caribbean with the same director.
Yeah, I've got more on that.
And in Pirates of the Caribbean, he's playing such a character, like such a like instantly well-known, immediately recognizable character. And like in this one, I felt like he really wasn't playing such a big character. Like you could hear a lot of more like Johnny Depp in his voice, and that grossed me out.
Okay, yeah, no, I mean, that's all fair. It taints a back catalogue as well, right? Like, this guy's been making movies since the 80s, and now, you know, that's a whole career's worth of entertainment that is tainted. Because
that is true.
How do you... Well, you have to either make the conscious choice to ignore those aspects or be aware of them and choose not to watch them, I suppose.
Well, this is it, and, like... I don't think it is a binary choice of like you can ignore it completely or just don't watch his movies. I think you can watch the movies, but necessarily it's going to impact how you feel about the movies, and like it's very unfortunate, but not as unfortunate as being beaten up by your husband. So I think it's very difficult to talk about. Like, and it should be difficult to talk about, and it should make people think about, like, what is and isn't appropriate. I wouldn't have been happy to have, like, had this conversation and not been, like, be authentic about what I actually was feeling when I was watching it.
Oh, yeah. So it definitely did affect your experience of the movie. Like, you didn't enjoy this movie.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, that's fair enough. Yes, is the same director as Pirates of the Caribbean. So apparently, which is Gore Verbinski. And apparently this movie was actually, the idea for this movie happened before Pirates. Uh-huh. And Gore was like, okay, I've got this cool idea for this, like, Western movie with animals. I suppose we should say the plot briefly. So the plot of the movie is that it's the classic sort of, like, Great Pretender identity quest, where what I was thinking of is it's not too dissimilar to Over the Hedge in that respect. This is a character coming in to a town and gives this false impression of who his character is, for then him to kind of come full circle and actually become the character that he's pretending to be. Whereas in kind of Over the Hedge, there's more of a con man aspect to it. In Over the Hedge, he is convincing people that he's not the person that he is.
Yeah. In this movie, it was more like he, like, in the opening sort of 10 minutes of the film, he says, "Who am I?" like multiple times. Like, he's very much on a thing of, like, he wants to find out who he is just as much as, like, so there's, he is pretending, but he's also he's going on that journey himself rather than, yeah, like...
Which is why he's a chameleon. He's a chameleon that can't blend in. Like, that's...
He's a metaphor.
Yeah, he's a metaphor. And so, like, one of the first... So in originally, he is, like, a pet, we presume, in a little tank that gets broken. And then as he is exploring the desert, a hawk is above and a hawk is trying to eat him. And there's another toad. And the toad manages to, like, blend in, looks like a rock. And he can't. He's changing colour, but he can't blend in. And then, is this when he actually gets to this town, this, like, old Wild West town, he, again, tries to blend in. He starts mimicking people's walks and pretending, you know, copying their movements. And when he goes into the bar, and then this is when his whole... He creates the character Rango, and gives this amazing, like, story of, like, the legend that is Rango. Just makes up a character. And then, you know, by the end of the movie, he's become that character. This movie was directed by Gore Verbinski, who also did the Pirates movies. And like I said, this movie, the idea for this movie came about before Pirates of the Caribbean. And he was like, oh, I'm just going to go make this Pirates movie, then I'll come back and do this movie. Then he ended up making 3 Pirates of the Caribbean movies. So this movie was very much put on hold for quite a while. And it seems like it did have quite a long gestation period anyway, post Pirates. As I think there are 4 or 5 Pirates movies anyway. Mm-hmm. So this was after the first 3. And Johnny Depp was always kind of in mind to be the character Rango, it seems. And the way this movie was made is quite interesting. Like, it wasn't done in a kind of traditional way you do animation, i.e. the way you normally do animation is the animators will animate it all and then the voice cast comes in at the end and just does their voiceover stuff, or does their voiceover stuff first and then the animators kind of use some of the facial stuff for references. But what tends to happen in animation is the animators will film themselves as reference and use that footage. Mm-hmm. But what they actually did here was they filmed the actors as reference and actually kind of acted out pretty much all the scenes.
They were all in the room together as well, which, yeah, I think makes a big difference.
Yeah, exactly. So, but if you look at the footage, it's almost like a school play because, like, Johnny Depp is just, like, wearing T-shirts. T-shirts?
He's wearing multiple T-shirts. Yeah. One on each arm.
Yeah.
One on each leg.
He's just wearing T-shirts.
And one wrapped his head.
He's, like, very casual. He's just, like, T-shirts and jeans. But then he's just got, like, a cowboy hat on and, like, a gun belt on.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, a lot of, that's the same for, like, a lot of the other characters. They're kind of, like, in half costume. Like, not full costume. And they've kind of got, like, bits of set, but not, like, full set. So they've got, like, a bar or, you know, a mirror or something like that. But they're not, like, they've not built the entire sets, because obviously that's a complete waste of money. But it still allowed them to act out the whole movie properly and record the sound and the visuals from that as well. So they could actually get the shots they wanted and get the visuals they needed for the animators and also get, like, a much more performative reference for the audio as well, which again I think informs that. And it also allowed them to kind of capture that sort of, like you say, having all the actors there, but also the kind of the improv-y stuff as well that you perhaps wouldn't get if you were really tied into the animation. So that was pretty interesting. The next movie they decided to do that on was Shark Tale. Which obviously didn't work as well. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas reference.
I mean, if we're going to talk about the references in this movie is like one big old reference.
Yeah, that's fair. To like
a million other movies, most of which I haven't seen. Like, But even, like, I don't think I've ever watched a Western in my life, but even I know the doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo- apparently, I was looking up online, and there are so many like really tiny, tiny, painstakingly tiny details
mm-hmm.
that are references to other things. And also Clint Eastwood shows up at the end.
Not actually Clint Eastwood.
It's meant to be Clint Eastwood. So like this very much is a movie made by people who like love that type of like old American movie.
It's definitely an ode to Westerns and is drenched in a lot of tropes and cliches from like the characters and the kind of, you know, the crusty old barman to like, you know, the one of the rabbits being an alcoholic or whatever. Like it's all there. You've got a lot of it to kind of take it up a notch and do something slightly different, which is probably one of the best scenes in the or sequences in the movie, is they have this chase scene.
I knew that's what you're going to say. You love a chase scene.
Love a chase.
And it's supposed to be Star Wars, right? When they're going through the...
They reference quite a few things. They reference... I felt it was a bit Mad Max, and that is something that Gore said as well, that it was a bit of a Mad Max reference. But it's a lot of different things. But the main thing being, like, it's a Western movie, but with an aerial combat sort of vibe to it, because you've got these...
Well, that's what Star Wars is, cowboys in space, right?
Famously,
that is what it is. All right,
fine.
Google it, Paul.
All right. But yes, it's got these, what are they? Like, prairie dogs on bats flying, dive bombing.
Were they prairie dogs? Is that what prairie dogs? Because they popped out of the ground, like, they were sort of burrowing around, didn't
they? Yeah, yeah, those are kind of prairie dogs.
Never been to the desert.
No, they're
I am from the suburbs.
They're just they're rodent creatures, but they...
I really didn't know what most of those animals were in there.
Well, yeah, they kind of took a fair bit of liberty with some of the stuff. Like, one of the main characters, Bean, is kind of an amalgam of a few different lizards. And she was the one character that I thought was, like, a bit not great looking. Like, she just kind of looks a bit weird.
She does look weird, actually.
But not in, like, a way that the others look weird. I mean, because I think it's worth saying, like, the art style for this is very, like, not your typical animal, talkie animal movie.
Sure, they're not cute.
No, they're not. They're weird looking. Really weird looking.
And, like, that in combination... There's a lot of decisions that were made, like, all of the references, the way that it looks, and then the, like... Just the whole atmosphere of wandering around the desert in search of water just doesn't feel, like, friendly and safe.
No, yeah, it's definitely, like...
It's not for kids.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, the references aren't for kids. Like, there's so many references that are, like, adult, and, like, it's calling back a lot of stuff that you will just go over kids' heads completely. And I was wondering, like, as I was watching it, like, even the jokes that are in there don't feel particularly for kids either.
But, like, I feel like it was critically, it was definitely a massive success. And I feel like commercially it may have been as well.
I think it made, like, some money, but I don't think it was as successful as they wanted it to be. Because, ultimately, I feel like if it would have been uber successful, there would be a sequel,
there'd
be a sequel, and there'd be, like, a Nickelodeon spin-off TV series.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I feel like most of this would have had to have been off the back of Pirates. And the fact that Gore had done 3 Pirates movies with Johnny Depp, massive success, and then got to do his little passion project, which was this weird animated movie with a lot of the guys that did Pirates, he worked on Pirates with as well. So obviously Johnny Depp comes back, Bill Nighy, and one of the main people was one of the concept artists, this guy that goes by the name Crash. And Crash did all of the character stuff. Not Crash Bandicoot, no. But what they did was for 16 months, they got in a house and they had a few illustrators, animators, and basically hashed out the entire movie in kind of storyboard format and animatics, and even did like dialogue, voice recording, stuff like that, so they could get the whole story, get it all visualized, and then kind of present that and kind of hash it all out. One of those things that they then really took to heart was these illustrations that Crash had done of all these characters. They're all just super weird and detailed. And originally, the idea was we'll have like the main cast be like this detailed and this weird looking, and then the background will just have like some generic bods or whatever. But they felt like actually when they started to do that, that it didn't hang together well, like it didn't work. So then they were like, well, I guess we're just going to have to put all that effort into all the extra background characters as well. And I think that pays off. Like, there's a scene where there's like just a spider just making a casket that you see, and he just like smiles. He's got all these crooked, mangled teeth. Yeah. And there's really just so much detail. Like, none of the creatures look the same. Like, they all look very unique.
Like, to the point where, like, for me, it becomes kind of grotesque because there's so much detail in absolutely everything.
Yeah, and they are, like, grotesque and weird. And I think that's one of the things that they kind of go out of their way for in this. Because they do look, like, kind of, like, hyper-realistic, don't they? It's not, it's not like the other movie I was thinking of in reference was, like, Zootopia. And in Zootopia, you've got, like, these very clean-looking animals. They're very... symmetrical is a big thing as well, which they're not in this. They're very odd. Like, Rango himself has got like one eye bigger than the other. His face is like lopsided, and a lot of the main characters, well, pretty much all the characters, like, aren't symmetrical like that. They've all got little quirks, little weird attention to detail in this movie. I think it's just massive, and I do think it really adds another layer. But it does definitely give it that quality of, and I think this is probably why it wasn't a massive success, is because it doesn't instantly feel appealing. Like, it doesn't seem appealing to, like, kids. Like, if you showed a picture of Rango as your main character versus the characters from Zootopia or something like that, you would go, well, this one's for kids and this one, what the fuck is this? Like, it just doesn't kind of hang together. I do think it's a good movie. Like, I do think it's a very simple plot. Like, the plot in itself is very predictable, but I just think it does everything it does really, really well. And it looks really great and is like very cinematic.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like, I didn't hate it. I definitely fell asleep at the end.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
When they were having a sort of big showdown. But from what I then read online, it sounded like that was like the least sort of experimental part of it. Like, they tie everything together at the end. I hear.
At what point did you fall asleep then?
When the snake arrived.
So the snake arrives, Jake the Snake.
Is he called Jake the Snake? No, he's not. Yeah, he's called Rattlesnake Bill or something like that.
No, he's called Jake the Snake.
Did we watch the same movie?
Yeah.
Why would you name your child a name that rhymes with what they are?
There's also a wrestler called Jake the Snake.
Maybe that's who you're thinking of.
I'm not. He was called Jake the Snake.
No, he's not. The snake
was called Jake the Snake. I'm telling you.
Rattlesnake Bill. I'm sure of it.
It wasn't. Although it was voiced by Bill Nye. But anyway, so you fell asleep when he first appeared?
Well, no. I had my eyes open and then I closed them for a moment to rest them. And when I opened them again, they were continuing to have a fight. And I thought, well, they're just going to continue to have a fight. So I'll just close my eyes again for a second.
So did you see... So what happens is, like, there's a showdown with Rango and Jake the Snake at the end, and like water shoots up from the ground, and the whole town starts kind of like flooding and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
You saw that, okay. Did you see the bit? We must have seen the bit then where Jake kind of like tells Rango to go and like never come back, and then that's where he meets.
Oh, yes, I remember that. Yes, he goes away thinking, oh, like his crisis moment, right?
Yeah.
And then he meets Clint Eastwood in the desert.
Yeah.
And then he comes back because he needs to. Tell his own story.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I
don't think you missed any. You can't miss anything major.
No, I don't think I did. I think just the ending's a bit jumbled for me because my eyes were closed.
Okay, fair enough. One thing I found a bit strange about this movie, which I think is always can always be strange about movies that involve anthropomorphic animals, is that there are some animals that seemingly aren't sentient. Like, there's a warthogs are used as like kind of horses to pull carriages and stuff, but then chickens are also used as horses to ride on.
I don't know, do you think a kid cares?
A kid probably doesn't care, but I do find it a bit strange when they have animals riding other animals and those animals seemingly don't have the same ability to speak. Although one of like the group of like the townsfolk was also a chicken. So that was very confusing. And then the big hawk at the start also doesn't speak or seemingly sentient, but has a kind of metal bill, or well, not bill, a metal part of his beak where it looks like it's like engraved or something like that. So it looks like he's got some sort of like augmentation there.
And also Rattlesnake Bill was using his tail as a...
Yeah, but he... Pistol. No, Rattlesnake Bill was like part of the thing though, because he could talk and...
Yeah, but his tail was a pistol.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was cool though.
Yeah, but it's not science, is it?
Well, no, none of the other stuff is science, but that's not my objection. My objection is to the fact that there are some animals that seemingly can't speak.
Do you think... I kind of was able to explain the hawk not speaking because he was much bigger than them. And I felt like... But then he speaks to a human. Oh, man. No, you just can't try and understand these things.
What are you talking about? The hawk doesn't speak to a human. What are you talking about?
No, sorry. The hawk doesn't speak because... And in my brain, headcanon. I thought that was fine because he was much bigger than them. And there are different sort of... Like, the sizes of it made me think that maybe they can't communicate. But then later on, Rango talks to a human. So clearly that's not... Then also, that was mainly in his head. So...
Yeah, yeah. I feel like this is a whole... What I do like about this movie is... that it delivers on, like, callbacks and, like, setup and payoffs. And when Rango is talking to a human, that's when he has crossed over. That's from the setup for the start of the movie, when you mention there's this squished armadillo in the road, which is must be dead because it's been ran over in half.
But then you see him walking around.
Spoilers, and stuff like that.
By the way.
Yeah, and he talks about getting over to the other side, and then Rango, as he has been shunned from the...
You're very easily impressed by this.
Well, no, I think it's just because it's one of the movies that I actually got and understood. And I was like, I get he's crossed over to the other side. That's like heaven. Is this like a dream thing? Oh, he's talking to Clint Eastwood. This must be like a dream thing.
Yeah. It was also another link to, I think, Don Quixote. Like, the whole thing of, like, it not... Everything exists in his own head, and it's like...
Well, I did write down... near the start that I hope this isn't like a dream movie, because
like as though that if he wakes up at the end it's like,
oh, yeah,
that would have sucked.
I did worry that was going to be where this is going, because it did almost have that vibe of, is any of this real? Because quite near the start there is like a trippy sort of dream sequence as well, where he sees like his plastic fish buddy just like floating through the sky.
It's funny because when that happened I was thinking of the bit in the Pirates movies where I think he ends up in the desert at one point, doesn't he? And he
has a weird,
like, trippy set.
I think that's the fourth one though.
Is that not him and not Gore Verbinski then?
I don't think so. I don't think he did the others.
I think that is him. Sure.
Another thing that bugged me about this movie, along with like some animals not being anthropomorphic or seemingly intelligent, is the scale of things. Sometimes, because it's... You get the impression that this town of animals, they have co-opted or like gathered human resources to build this thing. Yeah. So like the bank water is currency, and so they have a giant water butt, which is obviously like human thing. And then they're in the town, there's like a sequence with a vending machine, and he hides in the vending machine, which is regular human sized. But then there's a point where Rango is like gathering some stuff to give to the prospectors. I do an inverted commas.
Oh, yeah.
Commas, because they're actually robbing the bank. But one of the things he gives those prospectors is an Etch-A-Sketch, which is their size.
Right. That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
The bit I thought you were going to say was when they are talking to the mayor and he's like, he's got this like building operation going on. And that seemed weird to me.
Yeah, I didn't worry about that too much.
It
didn't bother me.
Did we watch the same movie?
Oh, but another thing that on the size thing that was that there's a regular sized fly that dies, or like a very small. Perhaps not the fly is the regular size. Perhaps the fly is actually a small size, because the fly is small, like to Rango size. It looks like a regular.
What are you saying? The fly is like a fly to him.
Yes, it's fly-sized to him, as we are to a fly.
I am to a fly what Rango is to the same fly.
Exactly. It's tiny. Which, obviously, if you were Rango-sized, if everything is, like, you know, animal-sized...
It would be, like, the size of a like bird, maybe. Not a bird.
Well, yeah, sure. It would be like right? It would be bigger. But we see this fly in the bar, drinks some of the juice and dies. But then,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. But that, and that is a very small fly, whereas surely the fly would be much bigger, as you say, probably about a bird size.
So this is the, okay, no, sorry, finish what you were going to say.
I was just going to say, and then later we see a spider who is the same size as sort of Rango and the rest of them. Which I was just very confused by the scale. It's, they're just picking and choosing, and that annoyed me slightly.
It's really interesting to hear you talk about these things, because I kind of just think that in the world of filmland, like, so much of that is just, like, so it's intended to not... You're not intended to notice it. You're supposed to suspend your disbelief, and you just don't do that. You're just like... Well, that doesn't make sense, though.
Well, I just want the rules of the universe to make sense in whatever universe that happens to be. And in this particular universe, there were a few holes that my mind
Because clearly
identified.
The reason that they had that fly in there was to show that what he was about to drink was incredibly potent.
Yes.
So that was just like, the fly being there was just like a shorthand way of...
Of saying, oh, don't drink this, this is really bad for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't like meant to be an actual fly.
Yeah.
So it's just... It, like, film language, I don't really know how to articulate it, but it's sort of like you're just not expected to take it seriously, and I think that really doesn't sit well with you.
Well, no, yeah, well, it's, yeah, because the scale thing bugged me, and I was like, well, hang on, why is that happening? It just didn't work for me. Another thing that I thought which they used a quite good effect in this movie is they've got a band of owls who are like a mariachi band,
yeah,
who kind of provide narration throughout. And at one point I wrote, can people see the band?
No.
Because they were kind of there side screen and then would do like the song and a bit of narration to stuff. Later on, they definitely, people can see them and they are talking to them and interacting with them.
Well, this is they're very much breaking the fourth wall. Yeah. Like there are two separate points where someone draws the shape of a screen on the screen, and it's like, we see you, hello, like, yeah, they're, it's like Blazing Saddles, isn't it, that they have the same thing in there, where there's like someone playing a sad song and they're like, play something happy or something like that. I don't know Blazing Saddles. Okay. There would be no point in me watching Blazing Saddles because it's satirizing westerns and I've not seen any of those yet either.
Well, I mean, I'd be happy to watch some westerns.
Do you want to make another podcast or just watch westerns?
Yeah.
No, because I don't want to spend my life watching movies that I don't like to talk about.
All right, fine. We'll do that.
Well, let's have another podcast where I make you watch, like, nice rom-coms and things that make me feel happy.
Yeah, but you don't actually like the rom-coms that much.
Yes, I fucking do. Oh,
okay.
You still haven't watched Titanic with me, which is my only request.
Yeah, but I've seen that times.
Seen that times? You saw
it. Yeah, I've just seen it many times. Other things I wrote down.
Okay.
Why does the female lizard have boobs?
Why does she have hair? She's a lizard. Lizards don't have hair.
Yeah.
She has ringlets.
Yeah.
You want to talk about little insignificant details? Fucking no. Sorry. Well, not buying it. This movie's a farce. She's got ringlets.
Yeah.
Weird
sheet. Just a weird character design, that one, I thought. It just wasn't kind of as in keeping with the others.
You have to have that character because that's like a westerny thing, isn't it? To have a sort of argumentative lady character and then they fall in love. Isn't that trope? I don't know.
Yeah, somewhat, I guess. I'm not sure. Maybe this is why I like this movie as well, because like I just got everything though that it was handing me. The mayor does a little drop of water into like his little ant thing and all these little bugs come out and come to the water and he's like, if you control the water, control the what did you say? I wrote it down.
Yeah,
actually.
You control everything. If you control the water.
Yeah. Control the water and you control everything.
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
In fact, no. Maybe you should carry on with what you were saying because I felt like you were going down a road, but I just
thought I was gonna say control the water and you control everything. Feels like very much a Dune reference to me. It's like he controls the spice, controls.
Hearing about Dune, having not interacted with it, it sounds mental. Like, I imagine that it sounds like the way that Harry Potter sounds to people who've not really had Harry Potter in their life. And you're like, ooh, Hogwarts. And they're like, what the fuck are you saying? Every time you talk about Spice in June, I think it sounds mental.
Oh, it is a bit mental, but I fucking love it. Like, it's really good. Yeah, because Spice is bonkers in June, because it's kind of everything. It's a drug, and it's space fuel, and it's, like, all money? Sorts of shit.
Like,
money. Well, it's because it's, well, it's just valuable, so it can be anything like that, right?
I guess.
It's valuable, you trade with it. But there's a sequence of when the mayor drops in a drop of the water, all these bugs come out and, like, gather around the water. And then we see the sequence in the town, obviously, where the clock strikes and everyone kind of comes out in this very ritualistic manner with their jugs ready to go get some water. And it's just reinforcing that scene of, like, oh, the mayor controls. And then he basically does the same thing with all of the townsfolk as opposed to just doing it with the bugs.
Oh, yeah. It is a microcosm.
Yes.
Of the society.
Yes.
And indeed, the world. Well, the thing that I remembered that I wanted to mention that I quite like about is the idea that America is so vast that in the olden times, like in Western-y times, you could just travel from town to town and nobody would know who you are.
Yeah.
And so you could just make up an entire new personality.
Yeah.
And I think it's quite interesting how that, and also because of that, these stories and these myths and legends like accumulate around people that obviously can't be true, but you also can't disprove them, and that's why there's this layer of sort of dreamlike, like what is real, what is not real. I find it interesting.
And that's why we should watch some Western movies.
No, I don't think I want to.
Okay, fine. This movie was better than the Lone Ranger movie. Did you see the Lone Ranger
movie? I didn't watch the Lone Ranger, you know.
So, interestingly, there was a Lone Ranger movie, which I think probably came out around...
It was 2 years after.
Oh, was it? Okay, yeah. Interesting. Because obviously the Lone Ranger movie features Johnny Depp, and Johnny Depp is playing a Native American in that. And in this movie, Johnny Depp is playing Rango, who you could argue is very much like a cipher for like the Lone Ranger in this kind of... And then he has his Native American sidekick, who is actually played by a Native American in Rango.
Yeah, they managed to do it for Rango.
For the animated movie.
But they were like, well, I just can't find any Native American actors. It's got to be Johnny Depp. He is so talented. Yeah.
But it's just, this movie had such a better plot and was more interesting than the actual Lone Ranger movie. Like, the Lone Ranger movie is like 3 hours long and this just does everything that you'd want from a Lone Ranger movie. In a shorter time period and more enjoyable.
Mm. Yeah, it's difficult for me to comment because I didn't see it, but definitely I remember it coming out and being like, why would you do that? That seems like a bad choice.
Yeah, Quentin Tarantino said it was one of his favourite movies of that year. There is, when they are trying to find out where the water has gone, they go through this like underground tunnel thing.
Oh, yeah.
There is a massive, giant eyeball that looks at them. And that's just never explained.
I'm sure that's happened in something else. I thought it was funny, but I'm sure I feel like that is a reference to something else.
Yeah, I quite liked that. I thought that was funny.
The nice throwaway joke.
Yeah, and when they confront the prairie dogs, the guys that have robbed the bank, when they confront them, and then all these other prairie dogs start popping up out of the ground... That is very, like, zombie movie-esque.
Yeah.
I thought that was quite a nice little reference. There are so many little, like, genre things in there that are quite nice.
Yeah, there's definitely a... You can see why critics would, like, is like, oh, I've seen that movie. Jizz in my pants. Like, I understand the joke. It's like when you go to see a Shakespeare play and, like, there's a piece of wordplay and someone in the audience loudly laughs because they want everyone to know they've got the joke.
Yeah, they got it. They were smart. Yeah, that's a weird little reference there as well, because so at the start, Rango is like acting, and like that's a whole big thing, right? He's about him acting the part and acting
chameleon,
this also.
Acting.
Yeah. But when he is talking to the little girl in the town, and I think he says to her something about, like, you know, stay in school, burn all the books except for Shakespeare.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
Oh, I really missed that.
I just thought that was really funny. That's pretty much all the notes that I had anyway. The only other thing I did think was a bit funny about this movie, well, maybe not funny, but the whole idea is that obviously the mayor is trying to...
Spoiler.
Well, I already said the mayor was a bad guy.
But the mayor is like, also need to say that at the very beginning. You should record a bit where
I mean, I think if anyone is listening to any of our podcasts, they know that we're going through the whole movie, so they're always going to be spoiled.
No, you don't know that for certain.
I mean, I don't see how we could talk about a movie for over half an hour.
But also, nobody is listening to these podcasts. So, I don't think...
So why bother putting a spoiler warning there? It doesn't matter.
Why bother doing anything, Paul?
Well, that's true. So the thing I was going to say was...
About the mayor.
About the mayor. So the mayor is diverting the water because he's going to make some new town or something like that. And there's allusions to it being kind of like he's basically making like Vegas for the animal kingdom, I guess, like, for sure. But I just feel like it's that interesting notion of like progress being the enemy, as always, but then it's almost like it is very much then romanticizing
the olden times,
the old west, and it's like, well, it's still hard and struggling, and it's like, yeah, it wasn't exactly all singing all dancing roses. Like,
I think it was very much not singing and dancing, and definitely no roses.
No.
I think it must have sucked. But all of these like western-y movies were made in like, well, obviously none of them were made at the time, but like it's always like, oh, the old west, that's we need to go back to that time. And that's
50s and 60s is where a lot of them were made. Yeah
I mean, it's just typical. Everyone just always wants it to be back the way that it was before. Nobody can acknowledge how good things are now when you're a lizard and you've got a hat.
Would this be a Disney movie?
No, it's far too vulgar.
Vulgar? It is vulgar as such.
It's by Disney standards, sure.
Well, yeah, I think it's... I'd almost say this can't be a Disney movie because I feel like it would have been offered or pitched at Disney first, surely, right? Because it's the team coming from Pirates of the Caribbean and him going, hey, Disney, I'd like to make an animated movie. Just made all this money doing all these Pirates movies for you. And they looked at it and went, no.
Well, there's smoking, there's drinking. One character says, son of a, and then a bird caws. No, there's no way this would be a Disney movie.
This is one of the examples where I'm glad that it isn't, because it is such a unique take and vision. The character designs, all that kind of intricate detail, it being such an homage to Westerns. Like, if it was through the Disney lens, all of that would be diluted.
Yeah. I fully agree. Not a Disney movie, for sure. Doesn't look like one, doesn't feel like one.
Well, that's it for this week. We'll be back next week, and it'll be your choice of movie.
Yeah, I'm going to choose something that's not mired in sadness and death.
Okay. Good luck with that.
I'm going to find one unproblematic movie.
Again, good luck with that.
It's out there somewhere, I know it.
Okay. All right, well, see you next week. See you, love you, bye.
See you, love you, bye.
If ILM had to hire just like a shitload of animators just for this movie, and then be like, okay, well, we're not animating anything else, so bye guys, and just like fire them all.
I've got no idea how it would work.
I have no idea, like, that. It just made me think.